setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. And I want to give a big shout out to our news station in Minneapolis. We are live on AM 1440 KYCR. So I'm excited to be a part of the KYCR family. And for those of you who listen to the program on your favorite podcast app, you could also catch us if you're in the Twin Cities area on AM 1440 live each day. And that is at 106 Eastern, 1206 Central Time. So very excited about that. 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. If you're new to the show, this is not another political talk show. We're talking about purpose, your purpose. And your purpose is to fill the unique role that you were created to fill in your relationships and in your work. And we're going to focus on the work side of this deal. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired on Monday mornings, just trying to count down to Friday evening, this is the place for you. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's start it off with Stefan in Dallas, Texas. Stefan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Man, I am living the dream. How are you, Stefan?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
I was calling because I had a question. My question is, right now I'm planning to go into IT. While I pursue other passions in my life. And I want to know, would that be a bad decision considering I know I won't like the work?
Oh, so it depends. If this is a day job that will get you to the dream job, then I'm okay with that. I mean, my story is that, Stefan, I was running my own business and I was self-employed because I had a great opportunity to start a business around an opportunity that was kind of handed to me. And I knew that being self-employed was going to give me the freedom that I needed to pursue broadcasting because it was going to take 5 to 7 years. So that's my journey. So yes, I'm okay with you doing it because I didn't like selling sponsorships to live events. There's nothing about it I liked. I was good at selling things and I had relationships, but it was a means to an end. So as long as you are pursuing your dream, I'm okay with you using technology as a day job because it's a pretty good field. It could be a great field, depending on where you're going and your specific focus, to where it can fund the pursuit of the dream job. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about because I want to start me a jewelry store, online jewelry store. However, my goal was to be able to do something that allows me to pay the bills that I didn't dread. I just wanted to be able to go to work, do my job extremely well, and come home and work on what I would rather be doing.
Then absolutely.
But I didn't want to be miserable at the same time.
Well, but let me tell you what I think will help you not become miserable. I wasn't miserable running my business because I had the freedom. I was making good money. And I was pursuing the dream. So my entire focus wasn't on the day job. My entire focus was where it was allowing me to go. And so I didn't get down in the dumps. You know, I was like, okay, this is part of this I don't like. But I was never miserable because I was like, I was doing what I had to do to be able to do what I wanted to do. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. You had an exterior goal that made it all worth it.
That's right. So here's the point. You don't go in and you don't ever look at that job and go, ugh, I'm doing this IT work that I can't stand. I'm so miserable. No, you go and you go, hey, I got a good job. I'm so grateful that I don't have to worry about paying the bills and I can take care of my life. And this is allowing me to launch that online jewelry store and make progress. Do you see the difference?
Yes, I see the difference.
Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you, Stefan, that you're never going to have a day where you have to remind yourself of what I just said. And so that's why I want my voice in your head going, snap out of it, Stefan, get over it. You're doing what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do. And you just play that over and over in your head until you get sick and tired of hearing me say it. And then you go, I'm sick and tired of hearing Ken say this. So I'm just going to change my attitude, because this is all about attitude. And what you can control are effort and attitude. So you go in and you bust it in IT, and that's effort. And you have a great attitude of gratitude, then you're going to be fine. And you'll get there. I'm proud of you, dude. Really proud of you. Go get it. Go get it, Stefan. I love it. You know, I met a nice couple here from the Chattanooga, Tennessee area in between the YouTube show that we just wrapped up live at Ramsey Solutions. And I'll go out and shake hands and sign books and take pictures and stuff when folks are out watching, which, by the way, we have another couple of couples out there in front of us right there. So thank you guys for showing up. But I went out and said hi to them, and they had just... They have no debt in their life at all. It's what we call at Ramsey Solutions Baby Step 7. They have no debt, paid off house, and they're truly living and working like nobody else. And they want to start a business. And so we were talking about it. And I said, listen, financially you're in great shape, but you're still going to need to start this thing on the side until it can replace the income that, you know, you guys are making right now. And together they're making really good money. And so we talked about this, and even in their situation, okay, so they are financially really well off. They're way ahead of everybody else. But their dream job is another business they do together. And we talked through two or three scenarios, but even for them, they're going to have to do whatever it takes, and they're going to have to be patient for this thing to grow, this business, that it would replace one or both of their incomes. It's going to take a little bit of while. So I want to help you all understand this idea of you do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. It's going to be with you the rest of your life, even when you're like this couple that's debt-free and they're millionaires. Okay, well, I still have to put in the time. I still have to be patient. And see, here, folks, here's this thing. You know, in movies and in books, and we glamorize perseverance and persistence, and it should be glamorized in that people who get what they want persevere. They stay with it, so they get up and they persist. But you know what perseverance is made up of? It's made up of two elements, equal parts. Perseverance, people that make it and stay the long haul, they understand the combination of persistence. It's getting up every day and chopping wood, but then being patient. Oh, if I walked around the streets of Nashville right now with a microphone and a camera, and I walked up to people and I said, if I promised you that you would get your dream job, but all you have to do is commit to do whatever it takes, would you do it? Everybody would go, oh, yeah, oh, man, I'll do whatever it takes. Everybody. But if I followed that question up with, okay, great, but are you willing to wait as long as it takes? Ugh. A lot of people drop off there. See, here's what it really boils down to. It is our human condition. So don't feel bad about yourself or beat yourself up if you're there. I'm the same way. We all are willing to do what it takes, but if it takes a long time, well, we're not in for that. Patience and persistence lead to perseverance. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, I want to tell you, I'm so excited. We're getting more and more emails and replies from you who are using my friends at ZipRecruiter. If you're thinking about changing jobs, and a lot of people still are, there are so many different avenues, connections, strategies that you can use. And one of the best one is a free resource like ZipRecruiter, one of the top hiring sites in the United States. They do all the work for you. Once you fill out a profile, they are another strategy. They are your full-time recruiter pitching you while you're going about your life and letting you know of opportunities that are really easy to apply to with one click, and you stand out because you're coming from them. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let them help you out. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do. Then we help you come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go. Oh, right here in our backyard, Nashville, Tennessee. Luke joins us. Luke, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How you doing today?
Luke, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
So I am a rising senior in college here in town.
Nice.
And since I was 18, I have worked at what, when I joined, was a startup sports media company. Fast forward to 4 years down the road now, it is no longer in the startup territory. But I'm still making my startup paycheck. And so my question is, first off, how to have the conversation with my bosses that, look, we're not a startup anymore. We've grown a lot, and I deserve to be making a whole lot more than what I am right now, even though I am still in college, because the things I'm doing are more in line with a full-time professional than with an intern or a typical college student.
Yeah.
And then secondly, we've discussed in the past that they will likely have a full-time opportunity for me when I graduate, but I'm at the point where I really need to start thinking about that and planning, and I need details. I don't just need, well, you know, this opportunity may be there and should be there. I need a firm commitment, and to be honest, I kind of want numbers. So how do I have those conversations?
Well, they're the same conversation. Those aren't two conversations, so my advice is addressing both questions, okay?
Okay.
So what you need to do is sit down with them and say, hey, been with you guys 4 years, and graduation is literally around the corner. You guys have mentioned to me in the past that there might be a position or that there will be. And so I want to sit down and talk about my growth plan here. I want to grow. And I want to know what you guys, I'd like to sit down and have an actual meeting where we discuss the following, a growth plan here at the company specifically. And when you get in that meeting, you're going to ask them, what are some things that I can do to become more valuable? Specifically, some skills that I can add to my toolbox, some areas of weakness that I need to be more aware of and try to mitigate that. That's what you're looking for. How can I get better so that I can get more responsibility? That's the second piece. I want to get more responsibility with some training, some certifications, some things you'd like me to do. You know, are they willing to fund it? Whatever. Just say, what are some things I can do to get better, add more value? And so then you're going to say, okay, and based on that, can we measure that? How are we measuring that? Because I want to not just get better and add more value, I want to make more money. Because if I have more responsibility and more influence and drive greater results, obviously, I'd like to know how you guys will tie that measurement to my compensation. And that's not asking for a raise. That's not saying I deserve more. Because it's really not an issue whether or not you think you deserve it. You know, the issue is whether they think you deserve it. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had this conversation that hey, we're going to hire you once you graduate? When was the last time that happened?
So it was before coronavirus, because I remember it was, we actually met in person and haven't met in person since then. So probably late 2019, early 2020, we sat down and they talked. And they've both been very adamant about, you know, they don't like training new people. They want to give opportunities to people in house, and we're very small in terms of numbers.
How many people?
I would say the whole operation is 10 people, but with those 10 people, we have a significant market share of the sports media area here in Nashville.
So, it's not a national company; it's a local company.
Well, interestingly enough, when I started working there, it was a local company. And over the last year, they have begun to expand, or I would probably term it experiment with expansion into two new markets.
Okay. And, well, see, what do you do for them? Are you carrying a lot of water for them?
I wear a lot of hats. I host a podcast. I actually cover the Tennessee Titans here in town. I'm a credentialed reporter, and so I'm at practices, at press conferences, at games, in the locker room. So a lot of writing. I'm doing interviews and things during the off season, talking to agents and setting things up. You know, really what I'm doing is, like I said earlier, in line with an industry professional and not the typical I think some copies, college intern.
Exactly. I think you have the conversation soon, like I just laid out for you. And mm-hmm. just say, hey, guys, I'm coming up on graduation, and I want to be here. So that's why I'm sitting down with you to say, what can I do to add more value? How can I grow, but at the same time, grow my income? I don't want to just talk about growing mm-hmm. my responsibilities. I've got a pretty full plate right now. And so I want to know, are you guys interested in me staying with you guys long term? Because if you are, I'm interested too. But I want to come up with a growth plan, what the growth plan looks like, not just what I'm going to do to get better and maybe responsibilities that I could add in the near or far term, or long term rather. And how do we measure that, and how do we compensate for that? And dude, if they mm-hmm. kick that can down the road, there's your sign.
Yeah.
But you got to just, it's right away. I would email your leader today or talk to him. I'd prefer you to talk to him on the phone so you can mm-hmm. control the way it sounds. Very humble. Do not say deserve. Take the word deserve out of your vocabulary. It puts leaders on the defensive. Do not mention, I want to talk about a raise. Don't even say that either. Say, hey, I want to talk about a growth plan with you guys as we're coming up on graduation. And I know back in 2020, we talked about me working long-term with you guys. Just want to see where everything lies. I think that's a very reasonable thing to ask. But I will tell you this, I'd also immediately start looking for other opportunities.
Okay.
Just to hedge your bets a little bit. But never ask for a raise. Always talk about a growth plan that includes you first getting better, more experience or new experiences, learning things, working on some areas maybe where you need to tighten up a little bit. That's all very humble and focusing on, hey, what can I do to get better and be more valuable? I'd like more responsibility. And of course, with that, more income. And when you position it that way, it's just less likely that the leader is going to get defensive. And many times they don't have control anyway. And so it's a tense topic. Take the tension out. Let's go to Brandon in Orlando, Florida. Brandon, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Brandon. What are you doing?
Not much. I appreciate you taking my call this afternoon. I'm a little conflicted.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's get clear. Then the conflict goes away.
So, Ken, I'm 30 years old. Mm-hmm. I've been working at a company now for a few years. Love the company. I'm making good money. I'm able to support my family pretty well. But opportunities have come up. I'm not necessarily looking to make a change or anything, but other companies have hit up my inbox, and here I am with multiple opportunities, and now I need to kind of evaluate what direction I want to go in my career. And, as these opportunities have come up, I've identified that they're good opportunities right within my wheelhouse of expertise, just maybe a little held back to make that type of a jump, and maybe lack of courage, for lack of a better term, to make the jump and go pursue something that is a little bit out of my comfort zone. So my question for you would be, what advice would you give to somebody that's comfortable at their current, not necessarily comfortable at their current company, but they love their current company, a company that's done by them very well, and I continue to see myself being able to progress at my current company, but have that courage necessary to make a jump into something that might get me out of my comfort zone a little bit and accelerate my career a little bit further?
Well, it's all about dealing with your fear. You've brought up two things. One, you're worried about what they're going to think about you. They're going to think you're a jerk if you leave them. That's one thing I'm hearing in your question. And that's just not true. You're not a jerk if you leave them, even though they've invested in you. If there's something else for you that your heart's telling you that you need to do, and you verified it, that it's in your sweet spot, meaning it's allowing you to use what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, your passion, to accomplish results that matter deeply to you, your mission. If it's in your contribution zone and it feels good and you go, hey, I can do this, then bet on yourself and go do it. The courage is all about clarity. Get clear that you can do it, that you should do it. Then the confidence and the courage will follow. helping you get unstuck and then on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Robert's up next in Hebron, Indiana. Robert, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello, Robert. All right, let's try Dana in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dana, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
All right, hey, Ken.
There we go. I'm good. How are you, Dana?
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, for the last 8 years, I've been working at a family business, a consulting firm, and I really like what I do. I like the money. I love the people that I've met and the industry that I'm in. I recently have been just thinking about the way that we go to business, and personally, with the family, I just am not seeing eye to eye with things, and it kind of has always been that way, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to try something new. I think that it can add a lot of value if I go into a firm, maybe like a firm that I call on.
Okay.
But since the industry is small, like, I just don't know if, well, one, they would hire me because it's like a conflict of interest. I'm also considering like starting my own consulting firm, but that would be in competition with my family then. And I don't really want to, you know, ruin ties there.
You love the work that you're doing for your family business.
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. But you don't want to do it for the family. And you're not in line to be an owner one day?
Well, I kind of am.
What's the big conflict?
It's really, I guess the way that we're going to business now seems sloppy to me. And we're not really organized.
Have you brought this up? Many times, right?
Yeah, I have before. Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, and also it's very small. So a part of me thinks that a bigger firm with a little bit more organization would be beneficial for me. But also, like, I can see our consulting firm getting bigger, like, with more assistants. But it's just really hard being a small company, taking it to that next level.
Right. So explain to me the conflict of interest that you mentioned. You said it might be a conflict of interest if you went to work for another consulting firm?
Yeah.
How?
If I'm calling on an account, like our group is calling on an account, and let's say I go and I apply to that account, they know me in the industry and there's a lot of competition. So my consulting firm is still calling on that account. Now it's my brother-in-law calling on me. They might just have some problems with that. I'm not giving other reps in my area, you know.
Okay, so I don't think this is as complex as you're making it sound, but you've got me even kind of going, all right, okay, what's the real issue? I think the real issue is that either you believe that if you put your foot down and go, look, I want to be here long term, or I'm open to it, but I'm not if it stays this way. I've brought this up before. It's not going anywhere. Are you all willing to make the changes or trust me to allow me to make the changes and try to prove it? If you're not, then I got to be okay with you guys being disappointed if I leave. Then that's the first issue. Then there's the conflict of interest, which I don't recommend, and I don't think you're recommending either. So I would stay away from any hint of impropriety so that you don't ruin the relationship, because it is family. Yeah, on one hand, you'll disappoint them if you leave, but they'll get over that if you leave the right way and you leave to the right thing. But if you do it the wrong way and there's a conflict of interest, now we got a big problem. And so then that leads to the third issue is, if you love the kind of consulting work you're doing, I got news for you. You can do that in a lot of places outside of Hebron, Indiana, for heaven's sakes. So I'd go. I'd say, fly, little bird, fly. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Now, that's my quick analysis because it's kind of been all over the place. Am I off or am I on? How can I help based on what I just said?
Yeah, I think that my real concern is even applying to these accounts, like how they would view me as an applicant. And
wait a second. I don't understand why you have to apply to accounts that are connected to your family business. I'm saying, if you know the kind of consulting you like to do, broaden your horizons. Why? I'm still confused as to why you feel your only opportunities are in area of conflict when I just told you that's not a good idea. So help me. Am I missing something?
The industry that I'm in is like in design and furniture. So I like working with design and furniture. I guess the accounts that I would be calling on, that would be the industry that I want to stay in.
Yeah, but how is that a conflict with your family business? You're saying they provide consulting services to the same, they provide them to everybody right now? They exist.
Yeah.
Your current family business consults for every furniture maker in the United States.
No.
But you see my point?
Yeah, I do.
I'm being ridiculous to show you that you're kind of being ridiculous.
I guess a part of me is just fearful for next steps. And
yes,
I think
I get
you know, I like the consulting so and the flexibility that it gives me.
So here's the thing. Where does it become a conflict of interest? To the best of my knowledge, I'm limited here on your business, but I'm trying to help you get to a place. I'm trying to drag you with me. Okay. Cause you don't need to be so scared. You also don't need to be so worried about this. Either your family business has a set group of furniture design or building clients, and they got this current list. I understand they might call on everybody in Indiana or in the region, but they currently only have this list. Am I right so far?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong. I said Hebron because that was the call I took earlier. I'm sorry. Minneapolis. Yeah. Okay. But my point is, either they got a current list of clients or not. And they do, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's keeping you from leaving those alone? You never touch those clients. That's the conflict. But if you go pitch other people that they're not currently serving, then I don't see that that's a conflict. Are you competing against them? Yes. That's problematic, but it's not conflict of interest. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, you're right. It would be like more of the competition.
So if you're stuck in Minneapolis, then that's going to be a point of tension. But if you decide to go to the Southeast, then they're probably not even looking for clients in the Southeast. Or, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, we did toy with the idea of moving out of state at one point, but we do want to stay in this area. So.
All right, so now you're limited. So now if you want to stay in this area, then you're going to have to decide what is the path for the least amount of tension?
I mean, a part of me thinks find a new job with an account that I'm working with right now because I have great relationships with them. If they see my application, they go, "Oh, that's interesting that Dana's looking for a new job. What's going on with
nothing?" Don't be so scared of that. Don't be so scared of it. Go, "Hey, you know what? Family business isn't for me. I love my family. I'm just not supposed to be in business with them. And so I'm going to now do for you full time what I did for a bunch of companies through consulting. Now I'm going to be your in-house person." It's great. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. Am I missing something there?
But here's the thing. Now I'm in that account and my brother-in-law is calling on me and trying to sell me his product, and accounts might not like that because I am going to choose his product over others.
Let them decide. You don't know that. Let them decide. Okay. If they're interested and you've got a great relationship, let's go, "Hey, here's the deal. How would that make you feel if my brother-in-law calls on us? Would you want a checks and balances on that situation?" "Sure, I'll put a checks and balance on that. You can run that by me and I'll be the one that decides on that particular product. Everything else, you handle."
Okay.
That didn't sound too difficult to me. I don't know. But I don't know anything about what you do. But to me, you're overthinking this. Why don't you have a conversation or two and see what's out there? I think that you're in a situation that we all get in, Dana, where we've got some options, some ideas, but we don't know really what's at the end of the path. And instead of digging deeper to try to see what the end of the path looks like, we just create this narrative that's so scary, and it's not that scary. Hey, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.